Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Jackie Hurley, good morning.
Morning, Brendan. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very, very well. Feels like Christmas Day in a way, I think, for rugby fans.
Now, we may have given people the impression 2 weeks ago that Ireland-South Africa was the most important rugby game ever in the world. In fact, we now realise that what everything for the past decade has been leading up to is tonight Ireland plays Scotland in the Stade de France.
Yeah, and you know what? If we're lucky enough to stay in it, then next week becomes the biggest game of all time, and that's how it goes. Scotland are calling this game their World Cup final. So this is not just us. This is very much them saying their 4 years has been working towards this as well, and it's all built up to this big crescendo. And it was probably always going to come down to this game anyway. It never really mattered what happened with Ireland, South Africa. It was huge that we won it, but this was still going to be the pivotal game that's going to decide everything.
Okay, so will you explain that to people slightly, what's at stake here? Because I think people weren't thinking of it as a kind of a knockout situation. Then we heard Johnny Sexton saying we're approaching this as a knockout. Mm-hmm. There are permutations.
Yeah. Here. Yeah. So basically, look, there's 19 different permutations at play tonight. I'm not going to go through all 19. Okay. Your listeners will be glad to know. Basically, the key for Ireland is if they win this thing, they top the group. Very simple. All Andy Farrell wants to do is go out and win the game. They don't care whether they win by 1 point, 10 points, doesn't matter for them. Even if they get a draw, they're still going to top the group. So for Ireland, it's pretty simple. It actually gets a bit more complicated when you look at it from Scotland's point of view, because if they can deny Ireland getting a bonus point, if they win by 8 points or more, that's when Ireland are going home. And that's what we don't want. So you don't want a scenario where it's coming down the stretch and this is a 10-point game and things are getting a bit tricky for Ireland. They're going to want this thing done and dusted early. And for what it's worth, that's what I think they're going to do. I think this will be a fairly straightforward day for Ireland. They'll approach it like they've done any Six Nations game and they'll just try to win it. I think when you start looking at the permutations, it's Scotland who need to be sweating, not Ireland.
Okay, okay. Now, the thing is, we might have been kind of relaxed about this, but as the week went on then, we seem to be giving the Scots a bit more respect and getting a bit more nervy, are we?
Yeah, and like, it's weird because Ireland are Scotland's bogey team. But everybody else seems to have had a really tough time against them over the years. Like, we haven't lost to them since 2017. And you'll remember that day was the day that Joe Schmidt said the bus was late. And then we were late to everything else after that. And it wasn't a good day for Ireland. But I think this team have been different. We have just managed to go about our business and beat them. But for all that, Scotland are still the fifth best team in the world. You know, if they beat Ireland, they could rise as far as the third team in the world this weekend. So they're a really good team. And I think they deserve all the respect that they get. I just think because we've beaten them the last 8 times by 12 points plus, I think people have always kind of thought, ah, yeah, sure, it's only Scotland. But the team have never treated it that way. And I think maybe that's what's coming into the psyche this week, that it's technically it's a knockout game in the World Cup,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, your confidence isn't wavering at all there,
I know.
It?
And look, we sat here during the Six Nations and I said to you, Ireland, we're going to win a Grand Slam. And we were kind of laughing and you were like, why? And I said, I just don't know. There's something about this team that's different. Andy Farrell is a very different kind of a coach than Joe Schmidt was before. The confidence that he exudes, he's talking about enjoying being world number one. You know, he's talking about wanting to go out and win the World Cup. And that's probably never set well with Irish people. But I think the longer we go on, we're on a 16-game winning run, the longer you do it, the more you start feeling like, okay, we're ready for this.
And yeah, then, and maybe it's okay not to be tormenting ourselves.
Absolutely. Like, and you know, the other thing that I love about them is, look at the crack that they're having out there. You know, you've seen like some of the pictures and some of the stories. You're looking at Peter O'Mahony, a good Cork one like you and me. He's going to win his 100th cap tonight. And it's amazing for him. You know, they're coming up with nicknames for him, the Haggard Badger.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you're listening to John Fogarty talking about the bed bugs and the front row forwards fumigating their own beds against them in a natural way. And, you know, they do seem like they're knocking the crack out of this as well. And that's good to see because it means that the pressure, most importantly, doesn't look like it's getting to them so far.
Yeah, yeah. And McNulty was here last week and he had been on the coaching team under Joe Schmidt, and he was kind of gently saying, yeah, probably was a bit intense when you're packing it, like when he sees the crack now. Like.
Yeah, and to be fair, they're very different. And Joe Schmidt did amazing things for this Irish team. But I think if you look back to Japan 4 years ago, they looked like a team who were under pressure. And that Japan defeat seemed to really just knock the wind out of their sails. If they were to lose to Scotland today, it's going to be up there as one of the greatest World Cup failings because they're the number one team in the world and everybody expects them to win. But But I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't even think they're letting that into their heads, because they have to be comfortable that going into a knockout game against Scotland, that they're going to win. Because if they want to talk about winning the World Cup, you need to beat Scotland. Yeah. It's as simple as that. You can't be having both of those turmoil scenarios going on in your head where you're worried about beating Scotland, you know, and then you're listening to people like Razzie Erasmus and all talking about Ireland and Scotland conspiring to get rid of South Africa out of this World Cup. As great as that may be for a lot of people, there is no chance that something like that is going to happen tonight. So. That's for sure.
We go back to Peter O'Mahony for a minute. So he becomes the 10th Irish player to reach 100 caps today, and he's obviously minimising it. And anytime you compliment anyone on their own player themselves, it's about the team. It's about the team, right?
Totally.
But I think people are taking a minute to go, God, he's a great old warrior, isn't he?
Like he really is. Like even Jamie Heaslip was saying to me yesterday, I think he got to 94, 95 maybe, for a back row forward to get to 100 caps in particular, given how competitive that position has been over the years, is something. How combative Peter O'Mahony has been throughout his career. You look at the way he plays, everything. For him to be able to get to 100 caps is really just remarkable, given that 2 years ago people said he was finished and that he couldn't get into an Ireland team. Now he's one of the first names on the team sheet. You can tell how much they love him. Listen to the way that they talk about him. Johnny Sexton was very funny during the week because, you know, look, they sit at press conferences and some of them, they're desperately boring, Brendan. They don't give you an awful lot. Yeah. And Peter O'Mahony is one of those who has always been very funny off camera. But when he sits up on the table, he gives you very little. And Johnny Sexton said during the week, he said, I'd love for ye to see him the way we do. And I think that's probably the biggest mark of Peter O'Mahony, how much his teammates love him and how protective they are of him, even though they think that, you know, he offers us very little. But in real life, very funny guy and a really warm character who is much, much loved by the Irish fans. Not the Scottish fans, by the way. I'd say he's probably the most hated Irish player in Scotland because of the torment that he has given them over the years. But he's absolutely loved by this Irish team.
Yeah, and obviously a very important part of the dynamic there as well, in a kind of a leadership mood in the dressing room kind of thing and everything too, isn't
it? Totally. Well, if you look back to when they won the Grand Slam in March, he was the one leading the charge when they were out for the 4 days. He was out the one teaching the young lads how to stay out and have the crack. He's been very much the man who has kept that leadership group of, you know, some of the older veterans like the Johnny Sextons, the Conor Murrays, the Peter O'Mahonys. They're all very tight knit, very, very close, but they are the connect to some of these young players who are playing in their first World Cup, and that's been hugely important as well. But I think his role on the pitch is going to be very significant today as well, because he's going to be the one. First, they're going to want to win for him, but they're going to want to win for themselves because of what's on the line. But I think you'll see it tonight. I think he'll be the one who drives the standards once again for this Irish team to get the victory.
Okay, so we're going into it with the full team
everybody's good, and the good news as well yesterday was we saw Robbie Henshaw running again. I think people thought maybe his tournament was over, but even just a slight sign of him maybe doing some light jogging at the stadium yesterday was good news. We're the only team in the tournament at the moment who seem to have a full squad to pick from, which, credit to the medical staff. I know you had Luke in there talking about, you know, medical miracles. Well, the Irish team, what they've managed to do to keep all these players on the pitch has been nothing short of incredible, and they deserve enormous credit, because that is what's going to win Ireland this game and further games when we get into the knockout stages. We've had this in the past where we've lost, you know, several players to suspensions, to injuries. Keeping the fit 23 and the 33 for the next couple of weeks is going to be crucial to Ireland.
Yeah, because it's an unknown.
Well, that's
could be the thing that
this
could scupper us.
Exactly.
Okay. So what's your call for the match tonight?
I think Ireland are going to win this by 10 plus. I just don't see this being an uncomfortable afternoon. You might say I have blind optimism every time I come into this studio, because Exactly. Yeah. When I'm wrong, you can bring me back. But I think the Scots are right to say that at some point this record of Ireland wins is going to come to an end. I just don't think it's going to be today. I think they're far better than Scotland. Ireland would have to have an off day and Scotland would have to be perfect. And I don't think, given the magnitude of today's game, that that's going to happen. And I think Ireland by 10 plus. I hope I'm right, Brendan. And if I'm wrong, you will never see me in here again.
And then, so then next weekend, quarterfinal, and we know now.
It'll be New Zealand if we win then. So France, obviously last night, very impressive again. It'll be them and South Africa in a quarterfinal, which, give me a toss of a coin there. That is going to be an absolutely cracking game, which has the potential to be one of the games of the tournament. But Ireland, New Zealand would be pretty special as well, given that Joe Schmidt is involved there now as well. And Ireland, New Zealand in the last quarterfinal in Japan 4 years ago. I was at it and it was one of the worst days to be an Irish supporter, given I think just what happened on the pitch, the way that it went, and nobody was expecting Ireland to win that day given how the tournament had gone. I think we're in a completely different headspace now, and a quarter final against New Zealand would give Irish fans real optimism that we could actually win this one. But we got to get there first, and the team will make sure that nobody else gets ahead of ourselves. But listen, we can dream, can't we?
But speaking of the Irish fans, it does feel like half the country has gone to Paris this weekend, doesn't it?
By my husband and my sister's social media who are over there, it looks like the world and its mother is out there having the crack. 60,000 Irish fans is what James Lowe said during the week. Now, if you think about that, that's more than what the Aviva Stadium holds. So if we're going to have 60,000 people in the Stade de France tonight, you can imagine it's not just Zombie they'll be singing. It'll be wild. I'd say there'll be a lot of red wine consumed and a lot of crack to be had with the Irish fans, but they're enjoying it so far from what I've seen, and hopefully
they seem to be a huge part of it for the team as well. Okay, Jackie Hurley, thank you very much. Ireland, Scotland, 8 p.m. tonight, and you can listen to that on RT Radio 1.